Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the CPS Technologies Corp. 2021 Year-End Investor Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. After the speaker's presentation, there will be a question-and-answer session. To ask a question during the session, you will need to press star 1 on your telephone. If you require any further assistance, please press star, then 0. I would like to hand over the conference to your speaker, Mr. Chuck Griffith. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you, Jeff, and good afternoon, everybody. I'm joined today by Michael McCormick, our President and Chief Executive Officer, who will offer his comments on our fourth quarter and annual results. Before we begin the business portion of the call, I would like to point out that statements in this conference call that are not strictly historical are forward-looking statements within the meaning of the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995, and should be considered as subject to the many uncertainties that exist in CPS's operations and environment. These uncertainties include the impact of COVID-19, the Russian invasion of Ukraine, economic conditions, market demands, and competitive factors. Such factors could cause actual results to differ materially from those in any forward-looking statement. Now, I'll turn the call over to Michael to offer his perspectives on the year and fourth quarter results.
Thank you, Chuck. Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for joining us. Today, we are pleased to announce the fourth quarter revenues of $6.2 million and an operating profit of $312,000 for the quarter ending December 25th, 2021. This compares favorably with revenues of $4.2 million and an operating loss of $291,000 for the same quarter a year ago, ending December 26th, 2020. The financial results in the fourth quarter were anticipated based upon the proactive restructuring steps we executed in the third quarter and mark our best overall quarterly performance since the pandemic began. We believe this past quarterly performance is more indicative of our near-term outlook of the business. The nearly 50% growth in revenue as compared to the same quarter a year ago is extremely noteworthy, as well as the 13% increase from the third to fourth quarter results. We are demonstrating continued incremental improvement because of the changes we are implementing to create inherent value and generate greater revenue and operating income and deliver shareholder value. For the fiscal year, we are reporting revenues of $22.5 million as compared to revenues of $20.9 million in fiscal year 20. The 7.5% annual organic growth rate over the fiscal year is consistent with our strategy. Fiscal year 21 reflects the second highest year ever in terms of revenue for the company. For the fiscal year, we are reporting $513,000 in operating income. The company is also reporting net income of $3.2 million in 2021 versus $914,000 in fiscal year 20. This increase is due to the reversal of company's deferral tax reserve. In addition, this also marks our second consecutive year of profitability. Our book-to-bill of 1.67 to 1 for the fiscal year 2021 continues to reaffirm our growth strategy is translating into results over a larger sample of data. We are cautiously optimistic that the increased sales of fiscal year 21 will directly translate into steadily increasing revenue in fiscal year 22. The COVID is still omnipresent. We are continuing to monitor all aspects of our supply chain and remain vigilant on ensuring availability of raw goods to create and deliver products to our customers. The viability of our entire chain has been challenged since the pandemic outbreak nearly 2 years ago. We are confident we have multiple plans in place to control the issues we can control. I'll speak a little bit later more about the overall business progress moving forward on the call, but for now I'll turn it over to Chuck and he'll discuss the financial details in a little bit more detail.
Chuck. Thank you, Michael. So revenues totaled $6.2 million in Q4 2021 compared to $4.2 million generated in Q4 2020, so an actual increase of 48%. This increase was due primarily to the increase in sales for armor and hermetic packages in the fourth quarter of 2021, as well as the impact of COVID-19 pandemic on sales in the fourth quarter of 2020. Gross margin in Q4 21 totaled $1.4 million or 22% of sales. This compares with gross margin in Q4 20 of $500,000 at 12% of sales. This increase in margin dollars directly correlates to the increase in revenue between the two periods. Selling, general, and administrative expenses totaled $1.0 million in Q4 21, compared with SG&A expenses of $789,000 in Q4 2020. This increase was due to the increase in sales employees, total compensation expense, and to an increase in commission expense due to the higher sales volume. The company experienced operating income of $312,000 in Q4 21 compared to an operating loss of $291,000 in Q4 2020. This increase in operating income is due primarily to the increase in revenue, as we previously discussed. For the year ended December 25, 21, revenues totaled $22.4 million compared to $20.9 million in 2020, an increase of 8%. This increase was due primarily to the increase in sales for Armor and Hermetic packages in 2021. Gross margin in 2021 totaled $4.8 million, or 21% of sales. This compares with gross margin of in 2020 of $4.2 million, which was 20% of sales. The increase in margin dollars is directly correlated to the increase in revenue. Selling, general, and administrative expenses totaled $4.3 million in 2021. This compares to SG&A expenses of $3.3 million in 2020. Several factors contributed to this increase. The company incurred an expense of in excess of $300,000 for one-time restructuring costs in 2021. The company paid the salaries and benefits for both our retired CEO and our new CEO during the first half of 21. They were both here at the same time, adding about $100,000 to our SG&A expenses. And we also added three new sales positions in 2021, which contribute to our overall increase in compensation. The company experienced operating income of $513,000 in 2021 compared to operating income of $914,000 in 2020, and the decrease was due primarily to the increase in SG&A expenses, as we previously discussed. The company recorded net income of $3.2 million in 2021 compared to $900,000 in 2020, and this increase is primarily due to the reversal of the company's deferred tax reserve. In December of 2018, the company set up a valuation reserve against its deferred tax asset. At that time, following a period of sustained losses, management determined that it was more likely than not that this tax asset would not be used. Management has reevaluated this decision in light of recent profitability and expected future profitability, and has determined that it is more likely than not that the company will be able to fully utilize this tax asset. As such, a tax benefit of $2.7 million has been recorded on the income statement as of December 25, 2021. Turning to the balance sheet, we ended the quarter with $5 million of cash. This is an improvement to our cash position of $195,000 at the end of 2020. In May, we completed our at-the-market filing and began raising funds over that program. Through the end of the year, we raised approximately $3.4 million net under the ATM offering. These funds have enabled us to completely cease borrowing under our bank line of credit. In addition, we have been able to absorb the increases in accounts receivable as our sales grow and in inventory as we develop our armor line. Our raise under this offering is being managed such that we've covered our short-term cash needs. We've become more selective regarding the days and market prices at which we will sell additional shares. As such, no additional cash was raised during the fourth quarter under the ATM program. Accounts receivable at December 25, 2021 totaled $4.9 million compared with $2.9 million at the end of December 26, 2020. Our day sales outstanding totaled 72 days at the end of the quarter compared to 62 days for the prior year. This increase was due to the inclusion of about $600,000 of deferred revenue in the 2021 year-end accounts receivable. If we take that amount out, then the day sales outstanding at the end of 2021 would have been 63 days, which is in line with previous years. Inventories totaled $3.9 million at the end of December, 2021, compared with $3.7 million at the end of December 2020. This increase in inventory is due to increased armor materials offset by better management of inventory in other product lines. Improved inventory management is now an area of focus. The inventory turnover in the most recent four quarters was 4.7 times compared to 4.5 times for the period ended December 26, 2020. Turning to the liability side, payables and accruals totaled $2.8 million at December 25, 2021, up from $1.8 million at December 26, 2020. This is due to greater expenditures resulting from higher sales levels, as well as the accrued restructuring charges, which we had previously discussed. So for further discussion, I'd like to turn the call back over to Michael. You're on.
Thank you, Chuck. This past quarter and fiscal year, we continue to make positive, measurable progress on streamlining and improving current operations, while also simultaneously addressing our long-term goal to grow to a sustained medium-sized business. As an organization, we are completely focused on increasing our ability to add sales and improve our ability to execute. We have substantially rebranded the company and improved our web, social media, and digital presence. We are now able to reach more potential customers, investors, and potential new employees about our ability to supply innovative, custom-made, materials-based solutions to solve our customers' most challenging issues. We have also continued to add additional staff members that will enable us to scale the size of the business without significantly adding cost as we execute. We have hired more engineers, more sales staff, and shared service members, to name a few positions. I would like to take a moment to discuss our approach to increasing our overall technical bandwidth, growing our approach to product innovation. We are adding technical staff to address the growing demand of our products across all three product lines, hermetic packaging, armor, and the metal matrix composite business. Our engineers are working with the business development staff to develop solutions that specifically address customers' requirements while working predominantly in a funding-constrained environment. This is directly equating to the addition of new customers, especially in the RF microwave market segment. Most importantly, this is bringing about a renewed interest in our industry-only ALSIC hermetic package. I am quite pleased with the progress we are making. We have re-energized the contract research and development services business, as evidenced by our participation in the Small Business Innovative Research and the Small Business Technology Transfer programs. The SBIR and STTR programs are the large reason for most recent success of our hybrid tech armor program line with the United States Navy. These programs are highly competitive awards that encourage domestic small businesses to engage in federal research and development programs with the potential for commercialization. In addition, as these programs advance through the research and development of R&D to commercialization, they are afforded additional intellectual property protections, and sole source manufacturing rights within the U.S. federal government. We have recently been awarded an exciting research and development contract with the U.S. Army aviation community to address their thermal management concerns for future vertical lift programs, or FVL as they call them. The FVL program is a plan to develop and replace the current utility, attack, cargo, and reconnaissance helicopters in the entire U.S. Armed Forces. Although the program is just beginning, we are immensely proud of our engineering staff to propose a novel solution that our military customers value over several potential solutions, including numerous prestigious academic institutions, to help dissipate heat over large areas for critical aviation applications. I'd like to specifically mention the magnificent work of Dr. Steve Katcher, Dr. Mark Arcinero, and Mr. Bill Holmes in this endeavor. We are also awaiting notification on several other contract research and development opportunities within both the Department of Energy and the Department of Defense. As we look beyond fiscal year 2021 now, CPS is continuing to follow up on the success of the past quarters with improving production volumes. We have made a commitment to a new material resource planning MRP tool in conjunction with our new enterprise resource planning tool, ERP, to enhance the efficiency and profitability of the entire operation. We hope to have this conversion done before the end of this fiscal year. The future is extremely bright at CPS, and I'm not just saying that because I'm the CEO. We have several large-scale future opportunities in all three of our product lines, hermetic packaging, armor, and metal matrix composites. These opportunities are significant also within the markets we are focusing on, aerospace and defense, and commercial consumer electronics. The entire staff is working towards the growth in product offerings while improving profitability. We are quite pleased with our recent quarterly performance and expect that we will continually and incrementally improve as we move forward, quarter to quarter and year to year. We are aware of the unpredictability of the COVID pandemic, but also hopeful that as the years progress and the potential for impacts to the business will continue to be less and less. The impact of the unprovoked Russian invasion of Ukraine should have negligible impact on CPS, as we have had almost no sales in those countries. We have lots of additional opportunities today, both small and large, that keep the entire staff focused on finding the ideal innovative material solution for customers' needs. And with that, I'd like to take a moment so that Chuck and I are prepared to answer any questions there may be about the business, whether it's the fiscal year 21 or the last quarter, and we're opening for your questions.
Open to questions.
At this time, I would like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, you will need to press star 1 on your telephone. Again, please press star 1 on your telephone. Again, to ask a question, you will need to press star 1 on your telephone. We have a question from the line of Stephen Posley. Sir, your line is open.
Oh, hi, good afternoon. Sort of a general question. Can you say roughly how your business breaks out between, say, defense and national security and other applications, and perhaps where you know, have visibility on where that's going?
Yeah.
Want me to
take it? Yeah. So I think that I think we have something on that in our 10K, which obviously we haven't published yet, but I want to say the defense is in the neighborhood of 25% of the business for 2021, and we do think it's going to continue to grow, but for last year's numbers, it's in that range.
Okay, good. Thanks. That kind of sort of gives me a good sense. That looks like it's probably unfortunately, a general growth area at the moment.
You're right.
So anyway, thank you.
You're welcome.
Again, to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone. There are no further questions at this time. Please continue. Oh, we have one. Greg Weaver, your line is open.
Hi, good afternoon, gentlemen. Thanks for taking the question. Just curious, could you speak to operating leverage? I mean, you had nice, great top line and nice gross margins, but, you had a penny in earnings. So could you talk a little bit about what we should expect there on a go-forward basis?
In terms of what are you, can you just repeat the question?
So you had very good revenues. Your mm-hmm. gross margins are back up into the low 20s again. And yet we earned a penny a share. So I'm trying to, what should I think about? Is the OPEX situation, it sounds like you're making some improvements there. We need more top line, basically, to get more earnings, or what's the thought?
Yeah, we definitely expect more earnings. I think that as we talked about, that SG&A number for this year included quite a bit of expense that is, one time due to due to the change in leadership and some of the other changes that we've made mainly during the third quarter, those, as I said, those are one-time deals, and I think that we would have seen an increase in earnings over all other things being equal. We would have seen an increase in earnings over the year had we not had to incur those expenses. So I do think we'll see much better earnings going forward than we did, especially in the first couple of quarters, first three quarters of 2021.
Okay, And maybe just to follow on there, in terms of gross margins, what should we think about there going forward? You're obviously doing a lot to try to streamline operations, which should help, I assume, margins, but just due to product mix or whatever, any color there? Is there more gas in the tank here beyond the 22 you just put up?
Well, you know, this is Michael, Greg. You know, certainly it's a focus of ours. You know, we continue to have issues that I'm very proud that we're continuing to improve the gross margin because, as you know, there's been quite a bit of inflation going on, and it's been a little hectic as by which we can keep our cost controlled and how do we control those costs, improve margin, and also keep happy customers. So it has been a bit of a dynamic this, I guess, the second part of the year as the inflation has really taken hold in the supply chain. But I think for the most part, we've overcome that. We're earning a little bit better. Like, I think that overall we've slightly improved, but we did have quite a few gremlins there. We had a battle. So I think as we move forward, as the mix begins to improve a little bit, we anticipate continued progress.
Okay, great. Hey, you're definitely not alone on that front in terms of input cost inflation. So are there any escalators in your contracts, or you got to go back basically and start to raise prices separately?
Well, you know, that's always a difficult issue. So some of our contracts are extremely long with our customers, and there are different provisions in each of those to address these things, and whether it be, you know, annual repricing, surcharge pass-throughs, et cetera, et cetera. So each of them are kind of unique, I guess, Greg. So.
Okay. Thank you very much. Good luck.
Thank you.
Next question from the line of Patrick White. Your line is open.
Hi, Michael. Hi, Chuck. Congratulations on a fine year and a fine quarter, and glad to see all the progress you guys are making. I wanted to ask you a little bit about the hybrid armor business. It seems to, in terms of the order pace, be a little bit lumpy. Is that something that you think is going to be the case for the next 2 or 3 years, or do you think you're going to get to a point where it's going to be a little bit predictable? And the second part of that business question is that you mentioned 25% defense related revenue. Is that all attributable to hybrid armor, or is there something else going on there? And can you comment on any of that?
Thank you, Patrick, for the question. This is Michael. So the HyberTech armor orders will be lumpy, which is not great. However, the good side is they're rather significant in material. By the nature of the industry that we're dealing in, we are still only halfway through our current contract on the HyberTech armor for the U.S. Navy. And armor itself is kind of, you know, you get a big order, you work it off, you get towards the end, you get another big order. So the lumpiness, I guess you were referring to, Patrick, is kind of there. And armor predictability will occur once we start transitioning some of these programs that we're working on today, executing with the Navy, and some of the ones we're bidding on, which are program of record awards within the Defense Authorization Act. So that will give us the predictability and visibility into out years of funding. So we're very quite happy with our armor business and where we're heading, and, you know, given that we're in probably year two of production now after 5 years or 7 years, if you take the longer view of R&D starts, we have lots of opportunities both, you know, domestically and international for HyberTech armor. And, you know, they continue, customers and nation states continue to see the value of our product. It's relatively lightweight for significant kinetic energy threats. It has incredible properties when you get into environmental conditions. And so we think we've just begun with our armor business, and I like the way it's scaling right now. We're controlling cost as we scale. We have lots of large opportunities, whether they be in the U.S. aviation community, foreign nations, and their ground vehicle community, And we already, you're quite aware of our progress we're making in the U.S. Navy surface fleet. So, yes, we're happy with that. But the lumpiness comes with big lumps. So I think, you know, when we look at the business as a mix of product lines performing well, I think in the longer aggregate, it will be just fine.
And in answer to the other question, Patrick, that 25% is not just the Navy contract. That Navy contract is maybe half of it, ballpark.
Okay. Gotcha. Thanks. That helps, and I can hear the excitement in your voice regarding where this might go and words. I'm looking forward to maybe mid-decade, where this stands at maybe 50% of your business, but we'll see.
There you go.
Yeah.
We'll see. The other question I had, if you don't mind, is with respect to your mention of some new customers and RF business. Can we think of that as 5G related? I mean, if so, just how significant might that be in terms of maybe percentage of overall revenue, you know, out 2 or 3 years?
Well, certainly, you know, as we continue to increase, you know, our aerospace product offerings, that has some visibility to us and some we don't have visibility into what the applications are. I would say it's probably more likely space-related, and I don't know specifically, do you, Chuck, of 5G? I don't think so. But, you know, it's more of the aerospace side has lent us into the RF microwave side.
I have other questions, but I can step aside if there are others on the queue. But if not, I'll throw a couple more at you if you don't mind.
Go ahead, Patrick. We're here.
Yeah.
Okay. So in the power electronics space, you know, I know you all are particularly suitable to the silicon carbide area, which is, of course, very suitable in the EV space. I understand there's a bit of movement towards GaN in certain aspects of power electronics and even, you know, lower voltage applications in transportation, solar, wind. Any thoughts that you can share today as to whether the technology you offer is suitable for more than just silicon carbide? Does it also work with respect to GaN, which I think is, generates a little less heat and maybe isn't as significant, your technology is not as important? I don't know.
Well, so let me just, you know, offer the comment that, you know, we're working, you know, with a lot of folks in the collaboration of R&D and future EV applications. And you are correct. There are, you know, there is a technology shift from the silicon die, and that is going on. And there are other applications other than ALSIC that we're actively working. And all of that is working together. And in particularly, you know, the messaging of this week, it's extremely optimistic for us, where the president and the infrastructure folks are talking about, you know, renewed interest in domestic production. You know, so obviously most of our concern in this market is not that can we do it, it's our competition and how can we be competitive to close most of those opportunities. And right now we are doing well with R&Ds, and our customers are inventing different products that are a couple of years out, if you will, Patrick, right now, and we are a viable supplier of that. And so we're interested. I think the high voltage more than low seems to be working for us. But, you know, our greatest advantage is with the ALSEC, obviously.
The I'm taking it there's other technologies that you're bringing to the table that maybe haven't been announced yet beyond ALSEC?
Correct. And so obviously we at any time, you know, we're a product-based business, Patrick. So we have different products that are in production. We have products that are in R&D. And a lot of times the cycles with our customers and partners is kind of close held, and that takes years for them to qualify and get that product going. But, you know, these are products that have been started several years ago and are stepping through the gates by which they become a full rate production.
Excellent. I'm going to keep on going with a couple more questions if it's okay. Thinking out maybe 2-3 years from now, 24, 25, you're looking to become a mid-size company, and I'm not sure what you mean by that. Can you add any color as to, you know, what you might be looking for in terms of a, you know, model that investors can think about with respect to a handful of things? One is contribution margins from today going forward. And maybe growth rates. When I mentioned contribution margins, really it's distinguished between gross margins, which I see as low 20s, but presumably your contribution margins might be thought of as something more like, you know, 30% or more, because you're absorbing your fixed costs are already absorbed. You know, might we be looking at 30% gross margins, maybe a mid-decade if your contributions are high, margins are higher than the gross margins?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's certainly our goal, is to get up to about a 30% gross margin. We've gone from, 20 to 21, 21 to 22 for in the fourth quarter, and we're continuing to work towards getting that number even higher. And yes, 30, and frankly, 30% is sort of the goal that we're shooting for ultimately, and hopefully we can get there sooner rather than later. But we think, speaking for myself on the finance side, the ERP and MRP systems that Michael had mentioned earlier, I think are going to help us a lot in getting to that place.
So. And just if I could, Chuck. You know,
sure.
Patrick, to your point is, obviously we see there is a relationship between revenue volume, contribution margin, and as I mentioned earlier, one of the reasons we made an investment in an MRP tool is as we continue to grow, we wanted to improve our margin while we're growing. And so you can kind of see, if you will, I don't want to necessarily put a timeline on it, but we are working towards ability to scale the business. And I guess scale is probably a good way to understand how small to medium. There's the different ways that I speak about how we want to grow the business. We don't really quantify it in a dollar thing, but, you know, we have goals, obviously, year to year. But we know that as we grow, we need to cut and contain and keep our costs down so that as we scale up, our margins improve. And so that is actively what we're working on, and that's what we were trying to share with you about the tools. You know, we basically talk in terms of people, processes, and tools, how we can, as we grow the business, scale the business.
Sure. Is it unfair to ask you, and I'll ask it anyway, whether it's, conceivable that, let's say, with all these initiatives you have in place that, we could be, it's not undoable to get to, 15, 20% growth rates going out into this mid-decade kind of thing?
It's a goal. I mean, we've achieved 7.5 this year. We have goals of that and greater. But again, we're in a dynamic environment, COVID. Now we have, return to almost Cold War-esque environment. There are some things we can't control, Patrick, but certainly from a planning standpoint as a business, we want to grow our business on all of our product lines, all of our offerings, in depth from early technology levels to full rate production, and that's ongoing. And we think we, with the addition of this tool, some of the new hires we've had, we are going to put all these pieces in place during 22 and probably you know, give me a quarter or two, Patrick, and ask the same question. But that's the goal, right?
No. Well, I think I'm done my part, but thanks for letting me ask all these questions, and congrats again on the year. And Michael, you seem to be the right guy at the right time here, along with Chuck, and you certainly are in a dynamic space with all that is going on, both with conflicts as well as with power electronics and movement to efficiencies. And so good luck on 22, and I'm sure you'll hear from me again. Thanks. Take care.
Thank you, Patrick.
Next question from the line of Anthony Marchese. Your line is open.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon. A couple of questions. To what extent does inorganic growth play into your future? In other words, you know, are there companies out there that you're looking at or that can hasten, you know, your level of revenue or profitability?
Well, you know, this is Michael. Certainly, the base of our plan is continuing organic growth on the material science line. Are we open for opportunities that are completely aligned with our growth strategy? Yes. Are we actively seeking them? We've made it aware that we're here and we're open. Do we have a committed resources to that? Not full-time debt. But I guess we're open, I guess, would be the question for that. But it would have to match with our strategy for growth, right?
And
we want to be extremely selective because we're having so much success right now. And the history of M&A success is kind of littered with, you know, great successes and great not-so-successes. And so
right.
We just want to be sure that we stay, if you will, under our skis as we continue to grow.
Got it.
But we're open for it, but it's not, you know, certainly our prime goal for growth. We think we have lots of opportunities the way we're configured today.
Right. A couple more questions. The new defense budget, does it hold any, you know, is there anything in there that would directly benefit you or with any new programs?
Well, certainly, you know, it's a large document, and for the most part, we have one component that's not in this year's budget. We think it's going to be in POM 24, which is the U.S. Navy's conversion of our hybrid tech armor to surface fleet application. So that we're cautiously continuing to monitor. But that is, it takes a while to get in the defense budget. I think for the positive side on the defense budget would be Congress's commitment to fund that Small Business Innovative Research Program, which is why one of the reasons we've returned to re-energizing our services part of our contract research and development. Congress is firmly stepped up on funding the SBIR, STTR program. We have obviously with a few PhDs in material sciences. We have depth and reach to the academic side. We have a few partners, Carnegie Mellon, University of Arkansas, to name a few, that we work with, MIT. We're, you know, obviously companies, our company is used to working with these academic institutions, and that's a well-funded program in this year's budget. So, you know, I think if anything, you could take away that, you know, one-funded congressional research project that is based upon domestic sourcing and commercialization of products is exactly what we do. So that's
awesome. Got it. Okay. And the final question, you know, given that it sounds like you're predicting or forecasting, you know, higher growth, greater growth, greater profitability this year, what are your IR plans? Obviously, no one follows this. No sell side firm follows the stock on a research standpoint. I don't think anyone follows the stock, to my knowledge. What are your plans in terms of just making yourself more visible to the investment community?
It's definitely something that, you know, Anthony, that we're working on. I think we recognize that we can do a better job in that area, and I think that it's something that, going forward, it's probably something that we'll be addressing sooner rather than later we will be addressing it to do a better job. And I think that, it'll be something that you guys can see as we move ahead in 2020.
Yeah, and certainly, just to follow up on Chuck's comment, we did have a short list of four this year, and like our trade shows, Anthony, we're getting, not that we don't want to go and attend, but I don't know how it is in your industry in particular, but conferences aren't greatly attended yet with COVID, and so we're not very sure that the conferences are going to happen, but we have a list of four conferences that we're trying to get to, and so we've targeted them, and I think we're working towards that. I think in the past, Grant and Chuck, our predecessors have attended, and we're trying to get back to that. But
I guess I was referring to, are you referring to investment conferences or trade conferences? Because the investment conferences just now are beginning to go back to attendance, but there's a lot. There are a lot of conferences that are done even today virtually, which I think if my suggestion would be to try at least, once every several months or 3 months, do an investor conference, virtually, so at least you're getting the word out.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. And
Okay. Do you currently employ an outside IR firm, or is it just purely internal at this point?
At this point, it's purely internal.
Got it. Okay. All right. Well, good. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next question from the line of Lenny Dunn. Your line is open.
Yeah, hi. Hi. Congratulations on the way you're running the business. And I'm going to address the dilemma that we have as a large investor in your firm. I completely understand that you can't disclose defense contracts that, are proprietary. I also understand that you can't give a lot of guidance because a lot of the contracts you have, you're the subcontractor on, and you can't antagonize the people that give you the contract. So it leaves us kind of in a dilemma as investors, because we really can't get our arms around totally what's going on. And I understand the reasons why you can't do those things, but are there some things that you can do to give us at least some forward guidance in broad terms without being specific? And so that we have a little better handle on what we own. Hello?
Yeah, we're here. Excuse me.
This is Michael, and thank you for the comments. We certainly would endeavor to get to that point, but we're not there. We're sharing with you the most we feel comfortable with sharing. We're trying to improve our communications with all of our investors about how we think the future is going to be, how much more can we tell you as far as guidance. I guess that's kind of far for us right now, if you will, Len. But right now, we are trying to walk a line here, right? We have customers, to your point, we have customers that don't want us to disclose things. We have competition, we have pandemics, we have war. We have lots of things we don't control. The things we do control, we don't see enough of to, I think, change decades of the way we've been reporting the business, but we try to share as much as we can, I guess. Well, that's the best I can share with you right now.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was encouraged by...
And you're welcome to visit. And you know, we welcome you to come and visit. I mean, we can figure that out offline, and we could show you more. So.
Yeah, well, a couple of problems. Number one, the last week or so, I've been in the hospital because I'm recovering from COVID, so I can't come visit.
Right,
but that being said, I'm very encouraged by what I saw with the options exercise from insiders. So obviously you're sending us a message that you certainly believe that everything is going to be very good going forward, or that wouldn't have happened. It's very hard to evaluate. We're certainly not, I'm not discouraged at all. Long-term holder may continue to add, but I just wish we had a little better way of understanding where we're going forward. So I don't know what effort you can make to at least disclose a little more and give us at least a better feeling of what we own as owners.
Yeah, I think certainly we'll continue to, as you know, in the past we've if we get major contracts that allow us to announce, we're certainly going to announce those kinds of things. And we talked a little bit about I think it was in December with our bookings, our sales bookings for the year were double what 2020 and 2019 were. Those kinds of things obviously we'll continue to do, as much as possible.
Okay, well, I've asked, and whatever you can do to help a little would be very much appreciated.
Okay, sounds good.
Thanks. I hope you feel better too, Lenny.
Yeah. Yes.
Well,
yeah.
Eventually I will. Yes. Thank you.
There are no further questions at this time. Please continue.
I think that's it, right? Well, if that's it, Jeff, I think, on behalf of Chuck and I, thank you, everybody, this afternoon for your time. We're hopefully you feel like we feel that the business is doing well. And obviously Lenny pointed out that Chuck and I have shouldered in. We believe it is a good business, and we look forward to talking to you guys more. Welcome the feedback. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Thank you, everybody.
That concludes today's conference. Thank you, everyone, for participating. You may now all disconnect.